Amen. So in this last session, we're going to cover the practical helps for conducting the small group session briefly, in a brief way, highlighting some major points. So this is page 6. There's two outlines, so there's outline 1 and outline 2. I'll start, and then we'll continue. And then after we cover these points, we'll spend a little time for more practical fellowship concerning this year's Summer School of Truth. We'll mention things like the schedule, registration, and et cetera. And then I think at the very end, we'll have some time for just some overflow from all the saints. So maybe we could go to these points here. And actually, these 10 points all have a crucial word or a crucial phrase. And so we'll highlight these things together. And so the first Roman numeral, the crucial word is pray.
Amen.
Amen. Pray. We need to pray before the Summer School of the Truth begins, and before every session of the Summer School, we need to have to pray very much for this crucial time. And just like our brother shared, I just sense that we really need to be intensified, right, by cooperating with the sevenfold intensified spirit,
right,
even in our prayer. Oh, may our prayers be intensified for this year's Summer School of the Truth, right? So this point is really for our preparation, right? From now until August, I don't know how many days that is. Maybe someone could do the math, but we really need to prepare our being, right, through prayer, and also, you know, here highlighting a lot of the different aspects, right? The components of the summer school, the serving saints, right? The lessons, the groups, the messages, the recreation, the transportation, the camp, the serving saints at the camp, right? The atmosphere. Oh, they'd be so good if we could just cover, right, in a very detailed way, item by item in our prayer. And then point C, this was mentioned by a brother when he came up to share. It would be so good, right, that we would have some specific names. And this is what we will, as registration, try to provide. As long as all the registration gets to us on time, then we could release, you know, the groupings to all the serving saints. And that way, you know, before coming here, hopefully you will know who is in your group. And then you and the other serving ones, right, will begin to pray. Wouldn't that be such a good way, right, to prepare, right, in coming to the summer school? There are a lot of verses here, but the one word that touched me in Romans 1:9 is the word unceasingly, right? Paul, this was his testimony, how unceasingly he remembered, right, the saints in his prayer, right? And so we really also need to have that attitude and that spirit, right, to remember specific ones, right, in our prayer. Okay, point two, the key word there is preparation, right? A lot of personal preparation before the Summer School of Truth begins, and before every session of the Summer School of Truth, we also need a lot of personal preparation. Actually, I would note this, it's, in a sense, it's too late to wait for you to come to the summer school and then try to prepare, right? I think for the ones who've been in the summer school, you realize the schedule is intense. There's not a lot of free time, right, for us to, you know, spend some time over the word to try to prepare. So actually, so this preparation is, again, now, right? From now until the start of the summer school. You know, I read that portion from teacher's training. Again, this is the last page. Maybe I could also just finish with this last paragraph. This is Brother Lee's suggestion, right, on how we could prepare, right, lesson by lesson, point by point. So this is his encouragement. I would encourage you to prepare not only by yourself, but also with others who will be teaching the young people. Come together with several others and check every point of every lesson according to experience. In addition, practice converting the doctrinal points into experience. This will be a good preparation for teaching in an experiential way. If you do this, the summer school will be a great benefit, not only to the young people, but to the entire church. Let us take this way to teach the young people in their summer school of truth. So, personally, we need to prepare. Oh, but it would be even better, right, if we could gather together, maybe within the localities, to take some time, right, to consider the lessons, the outlines, the verses, and that way we could fellowship. You know, how would you share on this point? How would I share? What would your testimony be? In this kind of fellowship, I think we could really bring out all of the riches, right, that are found in the Word and through our experience. So, again, the key word there is preparation. The next point, Roman numeral 3, I would highlight atmosphere that is full of love, right? And so from the first group session, build up. It's very interesting, right? This atmosphere requires a building up, right? It requires some effort, some energy, and that is full of love, encouraging, positive, mutual, and age appropriate, right? And so, you know, I don't know if you picked up on this, but when our brother was sharing the first session, you know, he made this comment. You know, what is the most important aspect of the summer school of truth, right? It's not the brothers standing, you know, sharing, right? But it's actually the small groups, right? The small groups, it really is the most important aspect, right, of the summer school of the truth, right? This is where we all can, right, through this atmosphere of love, full of encouragement, positivity, mutual learning. This is where the young people, right, they could really benefit, right, through the fellowship and the mutual learning, asking the questions. You know, maybe someone will ask a question, and it's not always the serving ones, quote-unquote, right, that has to give a response. But, oh, it would be so good if the atmosphere is just so mutual, right? The young people, they just feel comfortable, right? Oh, you know, somebody asks, you know, I could give a short answer. But this, again, requires, you know, some building up. Although it's, you know, it takes time to build up, as a warning, you know, we need to be careful because though it takes time to build up, it's actually very quick, right, to tear it all down, right? And so we really need to be on the watch, right, and to really to pray, to have a spirit of love, right? If we have a spirit of love, then we could bring in an atmosphere of love. And so some of these sub-points, actually these points are from the booklet, How to Lead the Young People. It's actually very, very good. And in that book, Brother Lee gives a lot of practical examples. And maybe I just highlight this one thing, because this could be a help to build up this atmosphere of love. He shared that, you know, if the young people go to play ball, right, try to go play ball with them. Right, we'll have recreation as part of our summer school the truth schedule, and actually recreation is right before the afternoon small group time. Right, so this is an opportunity for us to be with the young people, to get to know them, let them to know us, and then it's very striking. He said, if you cannot speak something of the Lord, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, after playing ball with them, then your spirituality is false. Oh, that really touched me. Right. And so, you know, we need to learn how to just be among them, right? To know how to be Jesusly human, right? To shepherd them, to have this atmosphere. And then, you know, if they see us in such a normal way, don't you think that'll carry over, right? When we're in our circle and then we could talk about the Lord and, you know, they'll receive whatever we speak to them in a different way, right? So again, this really takes some building up, okay? The next point, Roman numeral 4, I would underline plan, having a plan, right? A plan, a strategy for each group session. Know what you want to accomplish in each session. And so This really highlights, again, the importance of the small group. The small group is not just a time, a filler time, right? But each time, and actually, this is where the coordination, where Peter will touch this soon, coordination among the serving ones is very, very important, right? And so when we come together for serving ones fellowship, usually we will give the last 10, 15 minutes, right, for each group to have their own time, right, to really consider, to pray, to kind of sense, right, to like the priest, to read the stones, how are, you know, the brothers doing, how are the sisters doing, and they come up with a plan, maybe through the fellowship, through the coronation, right? One of the brothers feels like, maybe we should share our testimonies, right, this next session. And then the other brother's like, yeah, maybe we should. And then that way, you know, through this kind of coronation, there could be the oneness, right? There could be the blessing. And so we really highlight this, right, for all the groups to have this plan ahead of time. Another key thing is, because of the stress of practicality, right, in the true school, we also want to devote time, and this is where we also will give some direction, right, where the young people, they could spend personal time with the Lord and to put into practice what they've learned, right? And so that could also be, you know, a component of the small group session, right, where we send them out. Or maybe, you know, another session is just to read the Bible, right? So anyways, just kind of describing, right, the small groups on how they look like. But at the end of the day, it really comes through the Spirit, right, through our coordination and how the Lord will lead us, right, session by session. Okay, and then the last point here, Roman numeral 5, doing your best to stir up and maintain an atmosphere of prayer in your groups, right? And again, the key phrase here is the atmosphere of prayer, right? And so it would be so good that in the small group, you know, a lot of times we just go around, everyone shares what they enjoyed. That's good. But sometimes there's just the opportunity, right? Especially if one of the young people, they bring up something, right, maybe on the matter of the gospel, right, like our brother Dennis mentioned, this will be touched, right, during the week of the summer school, and one of them, you know, they have a burden for their friends, right? Well, instead of just, you know, sharing about the points, right, concerning, you know, the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, you know, we could suggest, okay, Vedance, let's just pray. What is your friend's name? Paul, okay. How about let's all pray for Paul, right? And we just gather, right? All the other ones in our group, and then we pray for this one, right? You know, how would that feel, right, to this young person, right? And then I think for the everybody else in the group, they see this is going on. Then the next time, right? Maybe they have someone, right? Maybe their aunt or their uncle. So again, this can be cultivated, right? Session by session. That we can really bring in this atmosphere of prayer. But these subpoints reveal to us, to bring in this kind of atmosphere, we need to be a person of prayer, right? And so again, this is to highlight, right, our need to fan our spirit into flame, right? Brother Lee uses this illustration. Don't come into the group time like ice water, right? But we need to have the spirit to fan it into flame, right? And so this, again, this is good that we could prepare our spirit. Well, we come together, we fan our spirit into flame so that we could bring in this atmosphere of prayer into every small group. So I think Peter will continue with the next 5 points.
Okay, well, Saints, we could go to message 4, page 8. And we want to look at these points, again, just in a brief way. The first one, I'll just give you all the key. Well, the first point here says serving in a blended way and with a harmonious coordination between all the serving ones and helpers in each group. And the key word here is coordination. The key word here is coordination. And just to mention in a practical way, what's kind of involved in coordination, one thing that the brothers mentioned earlier was prayer, right? We learned about that. The second thing is, we would say is fellowship. You know, not only do we ourselves not have the answers to every single question, we also don't have the keys to every heart. And in every group that you have, different young people are there with different situations, coming with different backgrounds. Their hearts are all in different conditions. And the young people, they will receive you differently than they receive another person. It's just the way it is. And because of that, some of them, they're more willing to open up to you. Some of them, they're more willing to open up to others. So without fellowship, it's very difficult to know the young people in your group. So it's very important to have fellowship, because without knowing their condition, actually, brothers and sisters, it's very hard to help people, right? We have to know them, and to know them, it requires us to have fellowship, to read, in a sense, to read the breastplate, to read the situation of God's people. Then coordination also involves this. It also involves listening to each other. You know, sometimes we're in a group, and maybe there are three serving ones there, and a serving one says something, and then maybe you feel like, that's not the main point. The main point should be something else. So you bring up something else. And then another serving one says, that's not the main point. I prepared something else. So they bring up something else. And you know what the young people get? They get nothing. They get nothing. Because there was no listening to one another. We have to learn to listen to one another, to build on one another's point, to support one another. The young people can tell when the serving ones, whether they are one or not. Okay, then the next point number seven, your function during the group times is to facilitate the function of the young people. Do not dominate time by repeating the message or any other lengthy speaking. The key word here is facilitate. And here I was checking with some of the other serving ones before. There are a few points we want to bring out here. And the first is we may have a tendency to, when we're in the groups, to lead the meeting. But actually, our primary responsibility is not to lead that meeting, is to facilitate the meeting. You know, when you want to lead a meeting, you might feel like, my job is, I need to get all the points across, and if there's a silence, I need to fill that silence, so there's no awkward moment, and I need to talk if they're not talking. Actually, brothers and sisters, when we facilitate, that means that the young people should be the ones that are the ones talking. And it's okay for them to bring up questions, to ask one another questions and so forth. We don't have to feel like we need to fill in the silences. Actually, you know, sometimes these pauses, they come in your group time. Yes, if it's your first time serving especially, it might feel awkward, but actually you just sit there. You just sit there. The experienced serving ones will tell you, they've perfected the skill of sitting there and not looking awkward at all. And you know what? And eventually, sometimes the young people will say something, or the Lord will suddenly give you a good question to ask, to bring up more in the group time, okay? And so don't feel like you have to get every point in the outline. Well, now, one thing related, two small, very practical tips related to facilitating is, number one, is to prepare good questions. Prepare some good questions in advance and ask them if necessary. Ask them if necessary. You know, I was considering this point just because, you know, like we like always like bring every point back to the Word of God. And I was just thinking how the Lord Jesus was a master facilitator. And I thought of the story in Matthew 16 where the Lord asked the disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? He asked the question. He didn't say, disciples, I am the Christ. No, he said, who do men think that I am? And they all go, give their responses. And then the Lord, instead of giving them a response, the Lord says, okay, that's them, but who do you think that I am? And then, you know, and then, of course, Peter was has his particular disposition. He takes the lead. He says something. And this time he got it right. And the Lord gave him the blessing.
Amen.
And then in chapter 7, but that was in 16. In chapter 17, immediately, Peter does something wrong with the temple tax. But the Lord doesn't just correct him. He asks him another question. From whom do the kings of the earth receive the custom or the poll tax? The sons or the strangers? And then Peter gave a response. And then the Lord said, well, based on your response, now you know how you should have responded. My point is this. The way the Lord facilitated, you could see the Lord knew how to ask good questions so that his disciples would come to the realization themselves. And maybe later we'll speak more on this point in point nine. So that's number one, prepare and ask questions. Number two, sometimes the young people have questions, so we can ask them what their questions are. Then Roman numeral 8, if the serving ones are touched by the Lord's word and the messages, then the young people can also be touched. And this is the key word, testify about what touched you. Do not preach to them or exhort or rebuke them. I think this point is very good. When we're with the young people, they, you know, at school, they're constantly under the preaching. And when they come to the summer school of truth, yes, the word school is in there, but they don't want more preaching. Actually, it would be very good if we had some testimonies. And the testimonies, all great part of it depends on how much we personally prepared in our experience leading up to the summer school. If we experience the Lord, then we have something to testify. If not, you know what our speaking will sound like? The young people can always tell if you are really testifying or if you are saying something with an agenda that's like, I'm saying this to help you. The young people can always tell. When you're saying something to help them, that's not testifying, that's preaching. But when you're saying something about your own experience, your own realization, then that's not preaching anymore. That's testimony. Okay, Roman numeral 9. We must learn how to teach in an experiential way. We must, keyword, convert every point in the lesson from doctrine into experience. After making such a conversion during our time of preparation, we should speak to the young people about each point in the way of experience. In the way of experience. And I just want to highlight under this point, in point one, you should see if we would teach in an experiential way, we should help the young people to realize their situation and condition. You know, the example appreciated this morning about the matter of lying, remember that really good example this morning? Was you can tell from that example that it wasn't that we taught the young people something about lying or the fall of man. It's you asked them questions and you made them realize, you made them teach themselves the fall of man. That takes a lot of skill. And we have to help the young people realize the points in the lessons, okay? All right, so let's go to the last point here, page 9. Our group times need a positive progression. Those are the key words. Positive progression throughout the week. We need to be building from session to session until we reach the end. Here, there are two aspects. On the one hand, yes, we expect a positive progression. Actually, usually most groups do positively progress. And actually, because of this, it's important if you have some serving ones in your locality that are coming at different times, some that are part-time, it's important to have the proper handoff. Because if one serving one comes and the other serving one has already left and there's no fellowship, it's hard to progress, right? So if the serving one is coming to replace another serving one, there should be enough fellowship so there's a positive progression. And on the other hand, this also means, saints, in your first group time, especially for those serving for the first time or first few times, if in your first or second group time, your group, you just feel like nothing's flowing, the Spirit's not there, whatever that means to you, you know, no one's open, it's okay, all right? There's going to be a positive progression. All right? Okay. That's all. So now Brother Rick, you will continue.
I think, can you open to this, the list of lessons? On the left is actually the table of contents of the book, okay, the lesson book. On the right are the titles to our 11 outlines that we have composed. And then, do you see that on the right? What's the word there? It says chapters. Yeah, chapters. That means chapter in the lesson book. You get my meaning? Yeah. So, there are 24 lessons in the lesson book. That's here, 24 lessons. Can you tell me how many of these lessons are we actually covering? I hear 20, I hear 21. Do I hear 22, 22? Are you sure? 21, it is 21. So we're not even touching lessons 22, 3, and 4. As I was looking at this today, I thought, oh, we really should touch 23 on the body. How can we have a summer school without touching the body? Well, if we had an extra day, we could do it. The temptation is to squeeze it in. But our experience is sometimes the more you try, the less you accomplish. And even what we have here is somewhat ambitious to try to squeeze in with the high schoolers 21 lessons in 11 sessions. So you see what we're doing? On average, of course, we're doing two lessons in one, session, which each session might be 40 minutes, 45 minutes. The brothers will share something. Basically, you're spending 20 minutes on a lesson and 20 minutes on average. How much are you really accomplishing? Okay, that's why the first point I want to make is in our coordination and preparation, we have to focus. But focus on what? Well, before you coordinate, we have to pray, so that the Lord will give us the guidance. Amen. Now, in the first session this morning, I mentioned 4 points. Do you remember those 4 points? Do I remember those 4 points? The first point was what? Huh? The all-inclusive, was it the first one? Yeah. The all-inclusive life-giving spirit, which is actually in the outlines, it's 2 and 3. It's the all-inclusive compound life-giving spirit. Because I put the 7 spirits as a separate point. So the point is this, that we have 2 opportunities. When we're covering lesson 2 and we're covering lesson 3, we have 2 opportunities to drill this point. What point? That he is all inclusive and he's yours. Amen. And so wherever you are, you have access to the all inclusive spirit. He's with you everywhere and anywhere. And we talk about compound, and with the high schoolers, you can say a little more. And always remember this. This will not be the last time they hear this. Anything we say in the true school, it won't be the last time. So don't feel, oh no, we have to give you everything. Don't fall into that temptation. The Lord will guide us in the speaking of the messages, and the Lord will guide you in your prayer and coordination in one way to the girls who are 11 years old, in a different way to the girls who are 17. The same lesson, the same material, it's the same Bible, it's the same lesson book, it's the same content, but the Lord has to guide you different because they're different. And with the little ones, I mean this wholeheartedly. One point. Just one, leave them with one point. Which one point? Well, we hope it's the main point. Not a side point, but the main point. But then you pray, and I think it's 58 days, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 58 days. So just under 2 full months, right? Because there's 26 days left. July has 31. And then there's August 1. Yeah. Right? Is that, okay. So that's for the start of the high schoolers. And you add 7 for the middle schoolers, right? Okay. So we have time to pray and to consider, Lord, You are the all-inclusive compound spirit. Lord, what, and those 3 questions at the end of the book. Do I have the experience of this? Surely you have the experience of this. You have to say yes to the first question. Do you have experience of this?
Yes.
You have to have experience. I can't believe you have not had experience of this. But the second question is my experience adequate? That's different answers. We all have different answers. Mm-hmm. And then the third question. Can I teach this in an experiential way? Oh, with this, it's a good thing we have 58 days. Because the answer might be no. So I can pray, I consider, and I say, Lord, give me the experiences I need. Between now and August 1. Give me the experience lesson by lesson. Give me experiences. Give me fresh experiences. Fresh experiences. Where I can, that I can share their way. One of the points in the practical points is age appropriate. Age appropriate. Many of us here are married. So you have experiences with husband and wife. Okay, that's a good experience. But to just share that in that way it may not match. But there might be a way to apply the husband and wife experience to the sibling experience, or to when you talk to your mom. But the thing is, you have to think about it in order to bring it to, yeah. Of course, so many of us are working at a job. So you have your boss. You have your coworkers. We go through experiences there. We have real experiences of the Lord with the anointing. Right, with the anointing, with especially with our speaking, with how we join in the gossip or not, and or how we're joking. Don't we have experiences like this? Things are going, and as you're going along, there's a something there. There's a feeling. There's an anointing. Okay, some of those easily translates to when you're with your friends. But some of them, maybe to your boss, those experiences, how do, teacher, parents, you have to seek the Lord. Lord, give me wisdom. How to, give me experiences, and then give me wisdom how to relate them. And again, one way to 11 years old, a different way to 14-year-olds, yet again, 17-year-olds. One way to the sisters, other ways to the brothers. But the Lord will give us wisdom if we cooperate with him to pray and seek him. The Lord said, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. The Lord told us, are you more desperate? It's getting closer. I don't have anything. It's time to knock. It will be open. Do you believe the Lord said that? Do you believe his heart? He said, ask, it'll be given. He says in James, you do not have because you do not ask. So ask. Lord, give me all the experiences I need. Not just for me, but for them. But do you realize that in answering that prayer, you could grow very much in these next 2 months? We could all advance very much because we're having fresh experiences every day. And we're getting intensified. Amen. Without realizing it. Pray. Pray. But consider the limitation. Don't try to do too much. Don't try to do too much. With each lesson, there'll be some leading. Which point? Then when you're here, we encourage the serving team, get together every day. Find a time. Pray together. And then talk about, what point, brothers? What point? Well, what's your feeling? And this is a good training for all of us. Because I could have a lot of feeling. And then I come to the brothers. Brothers, what's your feeling? Jairo says, well, I feel this. And it may not agree with my feeling. So I may have the leading to say, well, I feel this way. Or I may have the leading to say, follow the brother today. Shut up. Just follow. And I may have that leading one day. And the next day, I have the peace to say what I, yeah. But the brothers, we talk about it. And the brothers may say, no, let's take his feeling. Don't be offended. This is how we learn to serve. And these lessons translate into the church life. It's very valuable to serve. But saints, in the fellowship, I do believe the Lord will lead us. Focus. One point. At most, two. Maybe with the high schoolers. There might be two important things. Yeah. What was the second point, Debbie? Second point? Let's change it. Let's make that the third one. Oh. And let's make number three the second one.
Function of the Spirit.
Thank you. The functions of the Spirit. Saints, oh, our young people need this. Our young people need this. If we could help them, even just to have this concept, to exercise my spirit is not to do this. And then loud. Praise the Lord! Is that exercising the Spirit? It could be. It very well might be. But it might not be. Because I can tell you, I know, for I saw it. A young brother, 16, 17 years old, to stand up in that meeting and do this. And then 2 hours later, he robbed a store. We're at knife point. I get a call at midnight. Do you know where this brother, was he in the meeting? I said, yeah, he was in the meeting. You know what happened? So I've seen this. Of course, that's extreme. But I've also seen, we have the meeting, and in the meeting, where even we, get them. Come on. Get louder. Come on. Release your spirit. And the kids follow us. Then they go home and mommy says something. I said, shut up, mommy. They talk that way to their mom. Are we really helping them touch their spirit? That doesn't just expose them. That exposes me. I'm not helping them. I'm just helping them to perform like little monkeys. do this now, do this now, and they all do this now. Don't misunderstand, and I think you would not misunderstand. I'm for releasing in the meeting and for calling louder, and I've led groups to, come on, hey, oh Lord, you, amen, you, hallelujah, and keep going, and I'm for that. But that's the release of the Spirit. It has to be based on something. And that is the genuine exercise of the Spirit, which is to exercise your conscience, your fellowship, and your intuition. And these are connected and intermingled. And there's a line there that says, the more you exercise your conscience, I think it's lesson 13 in the book. So what lesson is it for us? Seven? I think it's seven, the human spirit. The more you exercise your conscience, the fellowship will be strengthened. And the intuition, so on, something. So do you see on this point, on your spirit, we have two shots at least. In lesson 7 on the human spirit, and in lesson 11 on exercising the spirit. So two chances. But I believe if you realize this is an underlying important point, you'll find other opportunities to strengthen these things. If we could help these young people to see that the primary function, the leading part of our spirit is our conscience, you've helped them for their whole life. You've helped them for their whole life. The whole world system is against our conscience. It's miseducating the conscience. The conscience needs to be educated according to the Bible, according to the Word of God. And then it'll function spontaneously. Then the third point is the Word of God. The Word brings you the Spirit. And of course here, we have it here as the next to last lesson. But you can't wait until the last day to talk about the Word of God. You have to bring it in. The brothers who are giving the lessons, and all of us in the groups, we have to bring it in. How important the Word and the Spirit. And then the matter of what?
The seven spirits.
I don't know how you work that in. I don't know where besides that one lesson. But what lesson is it? Number 3. But I just feel, saints, I just feel every one of these points needs to be intensified. And again, I don't know if I'm going out on a limb here or what, but this matter of the seven spirits, we've not gotten into this. No. This has not penetrated the Lord's recovery. No. Brother Lee spoke about this here and there in his ministry, but there are two highlight times. The first is, I don't know if it's the Erie Conference or in Akron, Ohio, he shared this series of messages on the seven spirits. And the song that we just sang, that many of you said first time, came out of that conference. This was in the 70s. And it's amazing. Okay, the fact that so many of you never sang this song shows that this matter of the seven spirits is not in our church, local church culture. It hasn't, else it would be common to us, but it's not. Maybe the Lord wants to do something starting now. Amen. The next time was the full ministry of Christ. Quite a number of you have passed through the full-time training. You had a class on this, right? You had a class on this. Three stages. What are the three stages? I. First one is incarnation. The second one is And the third one is? Is it really? Incarnation, inclusion, intensification. Here we have inclusion. That's lessons 2 and 3. And and intensification. Here we're covering, actually, these points. But in the fellowship of the saints, incarnation has pierced the Lord's recovery. We appreciate the principle of incarnation. And even last week in the message, in the Tree of Life conference that we had just had, it was mentioned a few times about Christ's humanity. And we have to eat him, right? We have to eat him. But this matter of intensification, oh, saints, was it just a training class? Or are we actually in the stage of intensification? In people's concept, I know, in people's concept, we're still in the age of inclusion. I know some of you may not even know what I'm talking about. But incarnation was then, when the Lord was on the earth. And then it's like we're in the stage of inclusion, and the age of intensification comes at the end of the church age. That's not the way it is, but that's our concept. But actually, do you realize that since Revelation chapter 1, we have been in the stage of intensification? And that was 2,000 years ago. Not our experience. Now, please, don't even write any of that down. Don't say this to the young people. I'm not telling you that this is what you should share to the young people. What I'm saying is that we need to be intensified. We need this reality. And we need them to realize that within them is the sevenfold spirit. The sevenfold spirit that is greater than he who is in the world. So many of the Lord's children feel, oh, we're so weak, we're so this, we're so that. Touch the seven spirits! And you'll realize, be careful with me. If you touch me, I burn you. I like to see young people like that. They just burn people. And we have seen young people like that. Just not that consistently. And surely not predominantly. But there have been young people touching this kind of experience, burning their schools for the Lord. I want you to know this is possible. Have faith. Have faith. This is not too high, too much. Have faith. Don't detain our young people by our lack of faith. Let us not do that. Let us not hold them back by our past experiences. Let's help them go on in faith. And then there's one particular, let me complete my thought. My thought is this. I mentioned those 4 points. So each one of those is a focus that the Lord may lead you as you're preparing the lessons. Then Brother Dennis took us through all 11 lessons, highlight points, highlight, highlight, highlight. Go back and just pick one. Or rather, I would say, be before the Lord. Lord, which one? Which point for this lesson? For example, regeneration and sanctification. Now, with the junior hires, it might be you just focus on regeneration. And you let them know this, the definition. In addition to the life you receive from your parents, your natural human life, you received another life, amen, which is the life of God, amen, which is God himself. Amen. Not a thing, amen, but a person. Amen. And this person lives in you everywhere you go. Just impress them with this definition. And this could help them because sometimes, okay, believers sin. And then in one kind of school of thought is that when you sin, you lose your salvation. But no, with this definition, you help them. No, no, no. You don't lose your salvation. It's called eternal life. And you can show them. And you can show them with John 10, 28 and 29, with 1 John 5, different verses that will prove you never lose the eternal life. But what happened? What happened was that we became complicated, like our brother said. And now we have two lives within us. That's actually three, if you come to the which summer school, we cover the law of life. So, you know, and so, and you made the wrong choice. You chose to live by the old life. When a temptation came, you didn't eat the divine life. You chose the old life, so you fell. Because the old life is weaker than Satan. But the new life is stronger than Satan. So you choose. So every day is a choice. Mommy said, Peter, come here. You have a choice to say, oh, Mommy, I'm busy. Oh, old life. If you say, oh, Lord Jesus. Coming, Mommy. Ah, new life. Don't you think they can understand such an example? Said, Peter, oh, just a voice just makes you. It's like you turn into the Hulk, you know. Like, and you want to say, I'm busy, I'm playing video games. You want to say that. But when you say, because you learned in the summer school, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, you're no more green, you turn human again. And you say, Mommy, can I play for 5 more minutes? And she goes, okay, but just 5 minutes. Thank you, Mommy. Oh, how pleasant. And then you play for 10 minutes. 15 minutes. And then your mom calls, Peter! And you go, coming, Mommy. And you go. And you have a nice dinner with your family. Oh, don't you think you can show them regeneration with this little example? There's two lives. Actually, you know what you're sharing? You're sharing last week's conference. There's two trees. But don't talk about two trees. Now, the little guys, don't mention two trees, tree of knowledge. Just too complicated. Just two lives, you have a choice. Which do you live by? Now, with the high schoolers, the same lesson, you could tell them, you, this point, you always have a choice in your life. And why is it that some of your friends, they go to the world? Yes, the world is strong, but the Bible says, greater is he who's in you. So choose life. Choose life. Now, how do you choose life? Now go to sanctification. It's in the same lesson. How? By the word of God. Read the word. The word will strengthen you. The word is like a hammer. It'll smash the flesh. It'll smash the soul life. And it'll strengthen you. It'll operate in you. So see with the high schoolers, a little more, 2 points. Anyway, there's points like this. Last thing I want to say is lesson eight. Is it eight? Seven, yeah. It's denying the soul and also the difference between the spirit and the soul. 7 and 8, denying the soul. Don't think, please don't think, that a lesson about denying the soul is too much for the high schoolers. They need this seed sown into them. Too many saints survive in the church life,
yeah,
in themselves, right, without knowing the cross. Right. Good saints, They love the Lord. They serve even, but opinionated. And they never learn the lesson about denying the self. They didn't get the help, maybe early enough. At least put the seed in them. Put the seed in them that one day the Lord could touch them. The Lord could touch them. And they have the grace to deny themselves. If you help them with this, oh, you help them for their whole lives, wherever the Lord will call them and place them in the church life. But just put a seed in them. Choose the Spirit. Pay attention to that little feeling. Pay attention. Don't you believe if a saint loves the Lord, consecrates to the Lord, loves the church, the Lord is going to move in their heart so that they would not damage the church? But some saints, they don't realize. They just don't realize. Their words damage the church. They speak loosely about other saints, about the elders than the leading ones. Don't you think the cross is operating? The Spirit is operating? Or the Spirit doesn't operate in them? No, Spirit operates in them. Amen. But they didn't practice to say amen to that. Practice day by day, day by day. Because when you do practice, when you do say amen to that little feeling of death, that's a training. You say, oh, I don't want that anymore. I don't want this. So rather than feel that after you said it, because that happens, right? You say this, and then the Lord will shine. It wasn't sinful. It was gossip. It was just gossip. And you feel, oh, Lord, I don't want this. The next time, the Spirit may operate as you say it. Oh, Chris, let me tell you what I heard. And then there's something inside and... Yeah, never mind. Sorry. Never mind. Sorry, brother. Sorry. Never mind. And you practice. And you won't know what might happen? Next time we're together, even the thought comes, you don't even... They're just, praise the Lord, brother, tree of life.
Amen.
Hey, amen. And how are you doing? Yeah, good. And it's just... And the Spirit will train you. That's this lesson on denying the soul. We saints, so much damage comes to the church, not from outside, but from inside. Untouched people, untouched by the cross, and especially by our words. Words are powerful. Words can build the church, and words can damage the church. And this lesson could help in that. Now, don't expect that. We give one little lesson, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, then our young people know the cross. Now, just put a seed. Just put a seed. That might not even be the main point of that particular lesson. But put a seed. But don't think these things are too much. This is really my point. All these things, and all these lessons can be enterable for these young people. Amen?
Amen. Amen.